Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. As you know, every week I tell you, I'm so excited because we're going to be talking about blah, blah, blah. This week, again, as true to Bella Gandhi, I am super excited and psychotically optimistic to talk to you about dating and anxiety. Two things that typically go hand in hand. If you have a pulse and you've ever been on a date, don't tell me you haven't had a little bit of anxiety or a hell of a lot of anxiety. And so today I'm bringing you one of my partners in crime, my colleagues in love, Eileen Collins. So many of you know Eileen. She's been working with Smart Dating Academy for over a year and a half. If you heard the Nazi's granddaughter, Sylvia Foti, and the glove and the this and the that, that was Eileen that coached her. You're going to hear Sugar's love story. That was Eileen that coached her. So there's no one better to have on here to talk about how to handle dating and anxiety, because Eileen, in her nighttime moonlighting life, is also a mental health coach. So Eileen, I am so happy to dive right into this with you. Thank you for being here.
I'm so excited because, first of all, I love working with you, Bella. It's not even work. It's just fun.
Yay!
And anxiety plagues, gosh, most people at different times, right? I mean, everybody knows what it, nobody says I'm anxious and someone near them says, what do you mean? Or what is that?
I don't know. I've never been anxious. Are you kidding? Like,
right. And identify. So, and dating, boy, when people, especially, how many times have you heard, I'm getting back into dating, right? And I'm so anxious about it. It really does go hand in hand.
It's like what we do is half of mitigating anxiety, helping people with anxiety. And guys, listen, anxiety is not a bad thing. We're wired to have some sort of fear. If we didn't, we would have been asleep at the wheel when the saber-toothed tiger was coming at us, right? And I think the CEO of Intel back in the day, Andrew Grove, said only the paranoid survive in the world, right? So anxiety is meant to keep us on our A game. But what we want you to do is not have that bad anxiety while you're dating that either makes you shut down the app and think that you could never date because you're too scared of the rejection, scared of what if they don't like me, scared of how am I going to exit this date if it's not going well. So what we want to talk about today is those types of anxieties and giving you some tools, some tips, some hacks to navigate that anxiety. And I'll open it up with anxiety begins in one place. It begins in our minds.
Mm-hmm. So the thing is this, we're typically not anxious about something currently happening. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Something currently happening could be that, you know, alarming. And we typically, we spring into action actually. So anxious us is about the future, right? It's something that hasn't happened, but that we're concerned about. Maybe we've written a story about how it will be or what our barriers are going to be. I was working with one of our clients today, and she had gone back and forth with really phenomenal messaging with somebody she hasn't met. And so I said, you know, let's do a message and suggest a video date. Let's move this on, right? And she's like, oh, I'm not ready. It's the story she was telling herself, right?
Okay.
But she's with me to get to the date. And so they've been writing each other. It's been a week or so, maybe a little longer. Lots of message. So she was telling herself, I'm not ready, feeling a lot of anxiety.
And did you get her to set up the video date?
Well, we certainly sent out an invitation or several with other people she was corresponding with as well. Yeah. And I said, why do you think you're not ready? When you're here to, you thought when you contacted and we did our jumpstart and all the things, you were ready to date, right? You were ready to meet someone and you described him, who you'd love to meet. And this is the pre-date. Like we recommend the video chat, right?
Always.
Always can get you out of many a situation and into many good ones and can reduce anxiety. So as you know, anxiety kind of, we say often in the mental health coaching, it lives in the future. So one of the ways to kind of combat that is to get very purposefully and intentionally present.
I love that. I love that. And how do we get into the present? That's a great quote. You know, I would say, and if you're feeling anxious, you're either living in the future or you're living in the past. Mm-hmm. You can't be in this present moment and be anxious about this moment. So use that as a check-in mechanism, you guys. If you're feeling anxious, ask yourself, am I living in my past or am I living in my fortune-telled future? At this point, because it can't be about the right now.
Right. So how do we stop that? For most people, our patterns of thinking, the messages we tell ourselves, are habits, actually. That behavior is a habit, which is good and bad. The good news is it's a behavior, meaning we can work with that, right? We can work with that. We can bring in some new behaviors. The hard part is it's like saying I put my slippers on the right side of the bed for 30 years. Someone just suggested the left. How often are you going to go to the wrong side?
A lot in the beginning.
In the beginning, a lot. And then eventually, less and less.
Exactly.
So similar, someone maybe has a habit of thinking in the future, fortune telling how it's going to be, and getting pretty anxious. Or maybe plagued with something from the past and ruminating. So getting present can be as simple as intentionally noticing your surroundings. Or sometimes we'll suggest stimulating as many senses as you can. I'll tell people, can you walk away for a minute? Can you step outside? Just listen to the sounds of your outside. Smell what it smells like. Look around. Notice as much as you can. And in that minute, you can reset.
And get present. And that's how you get present. Stimulate as many of your senses as you can. Maybe you're listening to this and you're driving right now. What could you do? You could really be listening to this podcast word for word. You could open your window. You could feel the wind on your face. You could feel the sunlight in your eyes. You can feel the grip of the road. You can look at the sign you've just passed with new eyes. Maybe you've looked at it 1,000 times and you're like, wow, I didn't realize that that font was red on there, but really stimulating all of your senses to get in this moment. It's like you're forcing your brain into what is happening around me right freaking now.
Have you ever noticed back when we played sports, right? Or maybe even recently, like you played ping pong or pickleball or tennis or whatever, you are really present. You're in that game. Right. I mean, and especially if you're competitive, and I think I am, not necessarily good, but competitive for sure. Like I want to win. And so you can't think of anything else. You're not in the future, not in the past. You're right in it. Right.
100%.
That's another way to get present. We'll say to people, can you get active? Get out of your head into your body. Take the long walk, run on the treadmill, do the elliptical, you know, take a class, whatever. And that's a great anxiety reducer too.
I think working out for me is as much for my mental health as it is for my physical health. Because once you really get your heart pumping and you've got those beta endorphins, it's like you're pushing good mood through you, right? Like you can't kind of be in a sour, dour mood because you've just filled yourself up with good chemicals through working out and which calm you and may put you in a more positive mindset.
There's a lot of reasons it happens. The endorphins, there's a lot of physical things happening. And we know, you know, through like triangle breathing or square breathing that, you know, scientifically someone can bring down like their central nervous system from like really rapid possibly, just bring it down a little bit. Similarly, like walking, getting in your body, besides the physical benefit, mentally, for most people, if they're partaking in their surroundings and maybe pushing themselves a little bit, they'll get present. They'll just be very present about what they're trying to do.
Exactly. I love that. And, you know, I know we jumped ahead a little bit with this, but this is a really tactical thing Eileen just brought up about the story of her coaching a client today and the client saying, I'm not ready with the message. And she's like, okay, well, let's do a video date. Doing video dates is one of the greatest things that has come out of COVID. COVID sucked. It's horrible. But the fact that every site and every app built video into its interface, so often we have imagined anxiety based on our past. What if this person is super boring? What if I can't escape this state? It's been 3 hours. I'm having a terrible time. What if this person doesn't look like their photos? What if, and all the what ifs, again, we're projecting into the future based on something bad that might have happened in the past, right? So what you can do with video is put all of those fears to rest. Say, hey, before we meet out for a date, how would you like to meet for a cup of coffee? And let's just do a quick video date or a glass of wine, whatever your jam. Put boundaries around it, 5 to 5:30. Okay, so you don't feel pressured and anxious about how you're going to end that video date. Half an hour can be on the high side, right? You might know enough in 15 minutes to go, this is amazing. Or, hoof, you know what? That person's photos were 20 years, 50 pounds, and 20 teeth ago. Not sure. This is my jam, right? Okay.
And no harm, no foul. You didn't drive anywhere. You probably, you know.
100%. They don't know your last name if you haven't given it to them. You can end the date whenever you want by pressing end, right? You don't have to meet someone in a neighborhood you're not familiar with, right? I mean, and the stakes are lower.
Yeah. We consider this like our natural screening in a way. We're hoping that everybody's great and we're screening in. But it can be like almost to us, a mandatory step, don't you think?
It should be a mandatory step. So not only will this help to mitigate your anxiety of what if it's not a great date, but now what if it is a good date? And suddenly you're going to be like, oh my gosh, we had such a fun video chat. I'm excited to meet this person out for pizza next Thursday. Now, what have you done? That cute little step of the video date has not only assuaged all of your, you know, maybe insane fears of what this person might show up to be. And you're like, wow, that was actually fun and cool. And oh my gosh, I can do this. And that video date helps you to build that connection and lower your anxiety. So it's win-win.
It's wonderful. It's such a great idea. I think both sides. The other thing that we don't realize is the other side may have anxiety, often does, about it too. Everybody's hoping the same thing. Here's the good news. Everybody's hoping it's good. Everyone involved is hoping it goes well. So there's that. The story you tell yourself, right? I always tell people, we do so much self-messaging. We can be a judge, a little judge's robe, or we can be a cheerleader. But we're typically one or the other. And so, have you ever heard somebody say, I will be happy, this could be me, I'll be happy when I lose 15 pounds. That's a way you could say something. But it's almost like saying, I won't be happy until I lose, you know. And with me, that 15 pounds is going to be a slow thing. That could be years. Who wants to plan not to be happy? But that kind of messaging, in a way, we'd love to shift that, right?
Totally.
To just like, yeah, I'm really doing some work. I'm working on losing that 15, doing some stuff.
But I'll be happy in the process.
Because, happy right now. Yeah.
Because frankly, most of life isn't about the end goal being achieved, right? It's like if you climb up a mountain, it's not that moment that's going to be everything in your memory. It's going to be all the steps on that perilous journey that got you there that are going to make you go, oh my gosh, I did it. And that was so amazing. And it's always about the journey. So
Bella Gandhi can make people enjoy a perilous journey. Like you were like, a perilous journey. And I'm like, oh my God, she's right. But it's right. It is the journey, right?
Life, it's all about the journey, right? And what makes up our memories, right? It's like at the end of our life, it's we have our memories, right? And the memories are about the journey to getting to the place where we were, where we are at that moment. So I think that, you know, I love getting out of our own heads and looking at, am I being a judge or am I being a cheerleader for myself? And cheerlead yourself and just say, it's okay to be a little nervous, but you know what? I think I'm actually just excited about this. I'm excited to go out. And here's a hack that just came to me because during Eileen and I, we of course prepped for you guys and prepped for this podcast, but this one just came to mind. Years ago, I had a client who said, and she's a senior vice president at a very big real estate company, high up, super successful, alpha. But when it comes to dating, lots of anxiety. And she had had some trauma in the past. And so I said to her, I said, I'm going to give you a way to look at this. When you get to a date, I want you to tell yourself that you're going to meet your best friend's new boyfriend. And she was like, oh my God, keep talking. I said, when you get to the date, just think about your best friend's name is Ann Jane. And now Ann Jane has this new boyfriend named Mark. And you're going to go in and you're just excited because Mark's going to be in your life and he's your best friend's boyfriend. And you just want to get to know him. He's not a threat. He already likes you because he knows you're the best friend. And so that little hack changed the way that she dated. She's like, oh my God, my best friend's new boyfriend. That's how she went into every date and she would tell herself that. And it totally relaxed her from putting that spotlight on herself. Am I good enough? Am I going to be a good enough dater? Is he going to like me? Am I going to like him? How am I going to get out of this if I don't? Instead, when you say, I'm going to meet my best friend's new boyfriend, you suddenly are excited.
Bella, you kind of said the magic words in a way. The focus on ourselves, right? I tell clients all the time, if you can turn the camera around, right, and focus it outward. I had a friend tell me once, with great intentions, it changed my life. I think I was talking about being anxious about something. And she said, listen, you're only the star of your own movie. And she was right. She was right. People are worried about themselves. They're not laser focused on you. Turning the camera around from the focus on yourself, coming and looking with curiosity about the other person, that's just a gift, right? That's, of course, you're going to be anxious if you're just kind of spotlights on me.
Exactly. And then you've got the judge's robe on and you're looking at yourself going, hey, don't F this up. Oh, that wasn't cool that you said that. Instead, here's another easy hack to think about. And these are easy check-ins. If you are feeling anxious and nervous while you're sitting in the presence of someone else, you've put that camera back on your own face. And in the date, I want you to turn that camera around to the person sitting across from you. Your goal for this date is twofold. Okay. If you experience dating anxiety, you just tell yourself, I'm going to have fun by making my date feel good in my presence. Now, how do you make somebody feel good in your presence? Like Eileen said, you get curious about them. You are sincerely, from your pinky toe all the way up to your baby hairs, interested in this person. What makes them tick? What is their story? How did they get to this spot? Right? And when you are genuinely curious, genuinely wanting this person to feel accepted by you, feel good in your presence, you will be sincerely curious about them, almost like a journalist. You're going to want to know everything. And you know what? If you are feeling nervous about yourself, you're not fully invested in the other person. You are not, you cannot do two things at the same time. You cannot be anxious about your own performance if you are truly invested in the person on the other side of the table.
Exactly, Bella. We just talked about this right before, but what type of listening do you recommend?
This is my little hack to myself. I have a little post-it on my computer and it says, listen to understand. It is a very different way, you guys, of listening. And it cues me when I read listen to understand. Most of us listen half-heartedly. We listen to speak over somebody. We listen to respond. Instead, when you go into listening to understand mode, you will never cut somebody off. In fact, you will be, when I tell myself, Bella, listen to understand, all of a sudden it puts me into this, I want to know you, like know you. I want to understand your why. I want to understand what your intentions are with every statement you make. I want to drill more into that because I want to understand you. And it makes me a better conversationalist because if I understand you better, I'm going to be a better date to you because I can ask you questions that light you up like a chandelier, that are relevant, that are different than what anybody else is going to ask you because most of those people, not like us smart daters, are listening to respond. But when you listen to understand, it's like, whoa!
Bella, that's everything. And at the worst, you will have made a special connection, a very special connection. Maybe they're the love of your life, maybe not. But this piece of advice can change the way you interact with people and the way they feel in your presence. Period.
Amen.
The first is about listening to respond. Often we're doing it out of a habit, but because we're anxious, because we want the other person to like us. And the joke is, they will, if you let them feel your curiosity and your connection.
That's so true. And people, they say one of the most seductive things you can do is truly listen to somebody because most of us aren't truly listened to by anybody, right? And when you have someone that's giving you that rapt attention, what's better than that? Where they say, you know, love him or hate him, when people will always say, if you're talking to Bill Clinton, he will make you feel like you were the only person in the room because he is laser focused on you and listening to understand you. It's not eye contact. Everybody has good eye contact, but why is he really well known for that? Because he puts his attention straight onto you and you can feel that. And that is what you too, dear listener, can do. And you don't have to wait until you're on a date to do this. Maybe you can call your best friend tonight and just experiment with listening to understand. It's like, wow, how did you feel when your mom said that to you?
I love it. All of your relationships can be that deep. We get every conversation. Doesn't have to be a deep dive, but listening, like that is still a game changer, right? Listening, really listening. And being able to kind of be yourself, right? Show up authentically, interested. I don't typically talk myself into being interested. I actually am curious.
You are very curious. You're such a great conversationalist, right? Because you always want to know more about the person and the why.
A little Mrs. Kravitz from Bewitched, you know, like the nosy neighbor in me. I'm definitely curious, which is why coaching was a good fit.
And curiosity is everything. And again, when you're genuinely curious, what can you not be? You cannot be anxious at the same time, right? And gosh, I wish I knew this stuff when I was back in the dating world. And you can use this stuff, you guys, even when you're making a new friend. Girls, when you're going to meet a new potential girlfriend out for a brunch, you're walking into your kids' school meetings, if you're going to a job interview, these are all wonderful things. If you, number one, expect acceptance, you will be accepted. I want to tell you about this mantra. I use it. I have talked to my husband, Andy, about it when he's nervous. I was telling Eileen, my girlfriend, Anna Valencia is running for Secretary of State. And we had this conversation 5 years ago. And she's like, well, I'm walking into this room and these people are all older than me and they're more experienced and they're, you know, big time politicians. I said, sweet girl, I want you to expect acceptance in every room you walk into for the rest of your life. And she's like, I walk in with my head high every single time and pause to yourself before you walk into a room and say, expect acceptance. And it will change the way you feel in that moment. My husband does it. He says it's changed his game. He's in venture capital and he's meeting people all the time. But when you expect acceptance, it automatically means I can't be anxious about whether you like me or not because I already am assuming best intentions. You are going to accept me.
Exactly. Best intention thinking. Biggest game changer. By the way, it helps avoid fights that are just simply misunderstandings and no, not at all necessary. Best intention thinking, expecting acceptance. Just the best advice at all, I think, for dating. It just puts you in a mindset where people are drawn to that, right?
100%. And, you know, if you think about all the things we're saying, they might sound common sense, but I promise you, take notes, look at the show notes, the things that we're telling you to do. If you start to implement them in your life, they will change your life. They will change the way you date. They will change the way you interact with yourself and therefore the way you interact with other people. And now we can get into brass tacks, okay? We've given you a lot of mind hacks, right? Turn the mirror outwards. You're not focused on yourself. You're focused on the other person, having fun. Expect acceptance. Assume best intentions, right? Get yourself moving. Get yourself into a positive frame of mind. Now, okay, I'll tell you, one of the things that we do all the time at Smart Dating Academy is we help our clients get prepared for dates, just like you would get prepared for a job interview. Would you ever walk into a job interview cold? Let's say you've, you know, been at the same job for 15 years or 5 years, right? You wouldn't just expect to walk in and wing it. You'd be like, wow, I better freshen up and look at my resume and know that for every bullet point on there, I need to have a good story that tells a good story from the beginning, the middle, and the end. Wow. And I know in all job interviews, they're going to ask me, what's your greatest strength? What's your greatest weakness? Why did you leave your job? You're not going to walk in if you have any common sense at all, trying to wing that stuff, right? Because that stuff doesn't work. So on a date, do the same things. Prepare for the date, even if it's the video date. Think about the most common questions people ask. And if you guys need to, go back to the episode I did with Danielle Robay that talks about dating questions to ask. Think about, where did you grow up? How many siblings do you have? Are you close to your family? What do you do for work? Where do you want to be in 5 years or 10 years? What are the best podcasts you're listening to? What are your hobbies, right? The basic questions. Be prepared. Know how to talk about yourself in an interesting way.
And be prepared for someone to say, what are you looking for?
Absolutely. What are you looking for? Why are you here? Prepare for these questions. Prepare for the harder questions. Like, wow, why did you get divorced? Why have you never been married? Okay, let's just go there. People, bless their hearts, will ask those questions, not trying to be offensive. Again, go back to what Eileen taught me today. Assume best intentions thinking. That person is not asking you a question to be obnoxious or to put you on the spot. They genuinely don't know. Why have you never been married? They want to know. They're assuming you're an amazing person, and that's a choice that you've made, right?
And they want you to say something that reassures them that they're right. You are amazing. Oh, good. Right?
Yeah. They want to have a good answer. Have a good answer and a genuine, sincere answer for that, right? And this is the stuff that we work on all the time in date coaching, right? We are in the weeds, like Eileen says. We're in your inboxes. We're helping you to message, helping you to take it to video dates. If you need help, you've got both of us here to support you. We're here. Don't think you have to suffer through this alone. Dating can be fun and it can be less anxiety provoking. So many people are like, oh my God, I didn't know I could actually do this and work with you. Of course you can. Reach out anytime. There is always a way to be better and to have more fun doing something, right? And to be more successful. So prepare for your date. If you need a session where you can mock date, we'll do that with you. We'll help you to role play and tell you, yeah, that answer sounded good, or oof, I think your body language in that is not being authentic. I don't think you're coming across the way you want to, but get prepared. Role play with a friend. Hire someone to do this who's going to be objective. Get yourself feeling really good, because preparation leads to what? Lower anxiety, because you're feeling confident, because you're like, been there, done that. Anything that we do repetitively, are we anxious at it? No, because we know how to do this.
And we get better. We get better and better at it.
Amen, right? Practice, practice, and practice. Practice doing the video date. Practice with a friend. If you've been out of the dating world for a while, ask them, how do I look on video? How's my audio? Does my background look like that? Does it look clean? Does it look organized? Or do I look like a hoarder? Right? What do I look like? We might have been having conversations about hoarders before this podcast today. So take a look at your background. Have somebody who's going to give you an objective feedback. Say, you know what? That looks really warm and inviting, and like it matches your vibe. Have someone give you that feedback to build your confidence. And when your confidence is high, what is that the reciprocal of? Anxiety.
That's just the best advice. Honestly, it's true. It's true. We're here. Your friends are here. Get your tribe, you know, circle the tribe and build up your confidence. Practice, you know, do some role playing so that you can, and be prepared. As Bella said, they're going to ask those questions. You might as well have acted like you've thought about it and have the answer that you feel the best about.
Exactly. Exactly. And you can even prepare and lower your anxiety by having 5 questions in your back pocket that you're going to ask if the conversation gets to that weird pregnant pause where you're like, I don't have anything to say. I always call those having jumpstart questions. It's like jumpstarting your car with jumper cables, right? When the car doesn't start, you've got the jumper cables in the back. Have your jumper cable questions with you so that you're not afraid of what's going to happen if the conversation falls flat because you are prepared. These are all the little hacks that will help you with lowering your dating anxiety, right? You're expecting acceptance. You're going out to meet your best friend's new boyfriend or girlfriend. You've got 3 jumpstart questions in your back pocket in case the conversation goes flat. You know you're going to be accepted. How can this date go bad? It can't. You're in the driver's seat. The date can go bad because that person might have red flagged themselves. That person might not be who you expect. Okay, that's fine. But from your own anxiety standpoint, you've done everything you can to prepare.
And it is just that. How can we enjoy the dating process is by combating the anxiety that's happening typically well before any date. And so that we want you to just enjoy the process, not just meet someone amazing, which we also want. And we want you to be able to show up as your amazing self.
100%. And so let me tell you, you might be listening to this and you might be saying, well, you don't know me. I'm shy. I'm an introvert. I don't know what to say. I'm just anxious. I don't like being the only person in a room that doesn't know someone. I don't want to go to new parties. But I'm going to tell you, shyness and introversion is no excuse for not being able to do these things that we're talking about. Sometimes we conveniently can hide behind those labels. I'm shy. I'm an introvert. Let me tell you what, making dating conversation, having small talk, that is a muscle. Nobody's born with that muscle. Some of us exercise that muscle more than others, and we get used to it. Like Eileen was saying, instead of putting your slippers on the left side of the bed, you're going to put your right slippers on the right side of the bed. You're going to start to build that muscle. And one of the best ways, you guys, to start building that muscle, if you call yourself shy or an introvert, or you're not good at small talk, guess what it is? Exposure therapy. Okay. Start making small talk. Talk to the cashier at the grocery store. Talk to the person sitting next to you on the bus or the plane. Start making conversation with the person behind you in the grocery line. It's like, oh my gosh, you have 3 different kinds of mustard. You must love mustard, right? Just funny, easy things, because the more you do these little things, the less you're going to say, I'm shy. I don't know what to say. I can't make small talk, because I want you to practice that muscle.
I love that you said the, I don't know what to say, because it brings us all the way back to be curious about them, turn the lens on them. You'll learn what to say, because if you're truly curious about them, you would be asking about that whole mustard situation.
100%. And one of the ways to not lower your dating anxiety, I don't know if that was just a double negative, you guys, don't drink too much on these dates, okay? I have seen many a story. I started Smart Dating Academy 13 years ago, right? And I know what happens when we might feel anxious. And that first glass of wine goes down really fast, because maybe we're thirsty and maybe we're not that hydrated and maybe we're a little nervous, right? And then we order that second glass. And then that second glass is before you even have ordered dinner, right? And then maybe we get into the third, and then we start to get a little sloppy. The way to handle anxiety is not medicating it with alcohol and drinking too much, because then you know what you're going to do? You're going to potentially red flag yourself. Yeah. You're going to say stuff that's not appropriate for the first, second, or third date. And worst of all, you're not going to remember exactly what that person said.
And you may make them question things, right? Like, oh, that was a, I would not want someone to think like that was a lot of wine on a first date, because it's a first date, right?
Yeah. 100%. And you don't want to be that girl or that guy. I have had clients when they will say on a 2-hour date, so-and-so date had 7 drinks. They're like, is that weird? I'm like, that's really weird, right? Even having 7 Pellegrinos or 7 Diet Cokes is still a little weird. Pace yourself, right? Would you do it on a job interview? If the answer is no, don't do it on a date.
Especially first dates. Especially first and second, you know, beginning dates.
And if you're having dating anxiety, okay, let's say you've done that video date. Okay, now you're going to do an in-person date. Instead of agreeing to meet for a four-hour date, put boundaries around it. If somebody's like, would you want to meet for dinner? Just say, oh, Thursday dinner. Gosh, I've got plans already at 8 o'clock, but how about we meet for a drink and an appetizer from 6 to 7:30, right? Now you've automatically done what? Put boundaries around it. What is that going to do to your anxiety? Lower it. Because in 90 minutes, you can duck out. And even if the date's going really well, an hour and 45 minutes later, you leave that person wanting more, saying, oh, I don't want to leave. This is so much fun. Can we do this again soon?
Perfect. So good. Yes. Yeah.
Eileen, do you have any last parting words of wisdom for our listener?
I think you did. It was great. I hope.
I think so too. I think we've emptied our brains on you guys today about dating anxiety. And remember, we gave you a lot of information. If you even do 2 to 3 of these things, you're going to lower your anxiety because ultimately, guys, I will tell you what we want for you at Smart Dating Academy, besides finding the lid to your pot. You know what we want you to do? We want you to have fun along the way. And what we've told you is going to help you to do just that, to have more fun, to be a more fun date, and to get better dates and to be more successful at this. So until next week, I wish you happiness, success, and a whole cup full of lower anxiety. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love, follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.